Well, hello again, George Alford, Local Matters. Got a great program this morning and today, and look forward to it. Today we're joined by Mark Dudney, a friend, colleague for many, many years, historian for the Upper Cumberland Development District. Understanding that everything mostly we do is regional, his program can provide valuable insight into where it's headed. Through his work preserving and sharing the history of the Upper Cumberland, Dudney has helped document the people, events, and decisions that have shaped the communities we know today. Today, we talk about some of the most fascinating stories from the region's past, the importance of preserving local history, and how the Upper Cumberland has evolved over the years, and why understanding our history remains so important for future generations. Mark, that's a mouthful. We can't get to all of it, but welcome to the I'm excited about this program. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and thanks for the invite.
Good deal. As we talked about off air, this is a conversation. It's telling stories, and believe it or not, we're going to start with age birth. A lot of people go, "What?" We're going to start with age birth and just tell us, like Billy Graham and others have said, who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? Just take us on a little journey through you growing up and childhood and anything you want to talk about that's gotten you where you are today.
Sure. I was fortunate to grow up in Jackson County.
Okay.
I had great parents, great family, and I was born in 69, so mm-hmm. I'm sort of a child of the 70s.
Yep.
Everything for me goes back to a Mel Brooks movie. That's kind of my reference point.
I understand.
And so I was in high school in the 80s, and, you know, basketball is the civil religion in Jackson County.
Amen,
so
brother.
played basketball, got a mohawk. Playing football and you know, rebel without a clue in the '80s.
You know? You just lived the life. Yeah.
But a lot of it's a great time to grow up and a great place to grow up. A lot of freedom. And I attended Tennessee Tech. Was a history major.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee Tech, and that was a good experience. I got an excellent liberal arts education there.
I sure did.
Yeah.
Well, you are a son of the Upper Cumberland. Tried and true. That's great.
My family's been on the same area, same farm since right after the War of 1812.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah.
How did you, your formative years, you obviously were an athlete, regular person, regular guy. How did your, growing up, what interested you in history or obviously War of 1812 and your family roots, anything else, the defining moments that drove you to where you are today in the history, in this aspect of your life?
Yeah. There was never a time when I was not interested in history, and I was fortunate again. My mother was a scholar. She taught both history and English at Tennessee Tech. My dad was highly educated, but he was not a historian, but he was a storyteller. And
sure.
And he came, I grew up, the community I grew up in, had a storytelling tradition, storytelling culture, mainly because back when their formative times, they didn't have other modes of entertainment. So that, you know, keeping each other entertained with stories, and it also the Southern oratory tradition,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, through the church and through politics, that's how stories got passed down. And so I had neighbors and cousins who told me stories about the region. My parents told me. So there was really never any choice about what I was interested in or what I wanted to major
sure.
in college or anything like that.
Well, it's in our blood. You mentioned it's a Southern thing, but it's certainly an Upper Cumberland, Tennessee thing, Upper Cumberland thing of telling stories, sitting on the back, on the front porch or on the back porch, people coming by and telling stories. That's the way that was a form of entertainment.
Yes.
For families. So we got you growing up, and I understand now why. Then you went to Tennessee Tech, and what a great history department, and I mean a great heritage we have. I'm thinking World War One, too. I'm thinking Civil War. Bertie, who's no longer with us, loved Bertie. Learned a lot about my ancestry and my granddad who fought in World War One. So you're a product of a rich, rich heritage at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah. I had some great professors, and had a second major in political science, mostly international relations. But Calvin Dickinson, Larry Whitaker, And Birdie came after I had left, but I've known Birdie since I was 18. And so yeah, I had a lot of good influences in my undergrad career. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Calvin became a good friend of mine after we moved here, and loved Calvin, and then later Birdie.
Yeah.
But what a rich the sesquicentennial we had here of the Civil War and the role that this area played. A lot of great information.
Yeah, of course, Calvin wrote a book about the old Walton Road.
Yes, he did.
Which is what we're going to talk about a little later on, about the Walton Road Scenic Byway. So there's a lot of connections that I learned years ago that are part of my work today.
Okay. So we got you through school, you graduated, your history, political science. Talk about your early years and getting started and the work that you have done over the years and leading up to today.
I got a law degree. I'd always thought I wanted to be an attorney, but really I probably was more geared toward an academic career. So
sure.
Sort of spun the wheels in the mud for a few years, but started at the Development District in 2012, and it was a perfect fusion of my personal interests and my professional goals. And so it's been a great place to work. I'm given autonomy. I've got 14 counties that are people reaching out to me about their interests and their projects, and doing programming, taking lectures on the road and stuff like that. So I've got a lot of freedom in what I do, and that's a pleasure.
So the other thing, follow your bliss. You were very fortunate to have been able to follow your bliss upon tech, and you're doing something that I can already tell. I have to realize this is who you are, and this is it's in your soul.
Yeah, that's
and you've been able to practice that all these years. You've seen our, and we're going to talk about that too. We've seen our region, how it's grown, but also we don't lose our sense of place, our sense of community,
absolutely,
and our sense of history. And that's a challenge for any growing area.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. So just anything you want to jump on that way. How have you seen, what effect has our not being discovered, but we've always been a great region, great community. Tennessee Tech, I'm going to leave things out. Tech, the hospital, the industry, the business, I-40 later on. Just a general overview of where we've been. What do you see, and what do you see good, and what do you see that's challenging?
Well, there's so much that's good. The Upper Cumberland is a sub-region of Appalachia.
Yes.
And it has its own characteristics. And then when you break that down county by county, the culture, you know, each county sort of, they have their own personalities and
that's
history,
right,
and politics. A lot of that was shaped by the Civil War well into the 20th century. And so that's even in a pretty common area, there are a lot of distinctions about each county. And of course, you know, the first ones here were the Paleo Indians, 11,000 years ago. One thing that is interesting to me, I gave a lecture recently, just driving down Highway 111. If you're headed you're in Overton County, headed towards Birdstown and the Beatty Swamp over there on the left. They've discovered campsites of the Paleo Indians there. If you're driving on 111 towards Sparta, off to the left, there was a terrible Civil War skirmish that was basically a massacre. The Confederates massacred the Union. Union came back a few weeks later and massacred some Confederates up at Sinking Cane in the officer house. So just driving down our highways, if you can look off of 111, there are great stories and important history that has shaped our region.
Through the lens of today.
Yes.
The borderlands, you mentioned that as part of the history, and Champ Ferguson and all these things that I came as a deep Southerner. You know, there's always Shiloh and there's always the bigger, but what really happened in the Upper Cumberland is absolutely incredible. And yeah,
we were a laboratory for guerrilla warfare. It was called the No Man's Land of the Civil War because no major battles fought here, but it was Civil War in the truest sense.
And that's why it's so easy not to be overlooked, but not to be, as you're doing and have been doing, so because there weren't large-scale battles. It was the real day-to-day in the Civil War, brother against brother, yes. Family against family.
Absolutely. And I have made friends with some Civil War scholars about the Appalachian Civil War experience, and they have deeply studied what happened at the Battle of Dug Hill and later the Officer House Massacre as serious case studies of Appalachian Civil War experience. So that is something that's unique to our region. Yeah, the Civil War, any understanding of the Upper Cumberland region in the 20th century and going forward, you have to have some understanding of the Civil War and how it impacted people here.
And, of course, we can even go back to the Revolutionary War and absolutely. The settlers coming west, and yeah. We were part of North Carolina. Man, we're already underway. We're running out of time in phase one, but George Hallford, Mark Dudney, back soon, and we'll continue the journey. Thanks. Well, we're back. Mark Dudney, our historian. Fascinating stuff. Let's just pick up where we left off, Mark, talking about the Upper Cumberland, the history. You know, we talked about the Civil War. Of course, there's World War I, and, there's all the hero, our big hero from up in Jamestown. So just anywhere you want to go with this, talking about the history of our region and Upper Cumberland and some things you shared with me off air, but yeah. Some things you might not can tell me, say off air. But
sure. Talk a little bit about the region itself. You know, we've got 14 counties. It's over 5,000 square miles. As everybody knows, we're sort of an outdoor enthusiast paradise. We've
yes.
got lakes, federally protected lands, state parks in nearly every county. And we got these picturesque town squares and a diverse history. One thing that I'd like for most people to know is that the term Upper Cumberland, which is, precedes everything
yes.
in our area, that refers to the watershed of the Cumberland River north of Carthage, and that includes the Caney Fork, the Obi, the Wolf, and the Roaring Rivers. So when you hear the term Upper Cumberland, it's basically a reference to the Cumberland River.
It is a geographic area. It's not just a name. It has boundary. I mean,
yes, yeah. It's a
physical bound. It's a watershed.
It's a watershed.
Okay,
right.
Did not know that.
The Cumberland Mountains and the Cumberland River were named by Dr. Thomas Walker, came through the Cumberland Gap and named everything he saw for the Duke of Cumberland. So my job as public historian with the Development District, I have a working relationship with the Tennessee Historical Commission.
Yes.
And so I work with them. A lot of that revolves around the National Register of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. So basically my job mission is to preserve and promote the cultural resources in the Upper Cumberland.
Great.
That's sort of my brief.
Very important. And we talked off air as we grow, as we modernize, develop new the technology, not to overlook or forget these things.
No.
And more important than ever, maybe. Probably. I'm sure it is.
I think the things that bring people together, culture, food, music. I'm on the board of Humanities Tennessee, and that is something that we're very interested in, which actually does grants for our Upper yeah. Cumberland communities. But one training that I did with them was the Tennessee Folklife Institute, and it's things about foodways and music and art and craft and storytelling and all these sort of old folk ways that are part of our culture, and that these people, we work to preserve them. And so that gives me some hope, because I embrace the future, but I do think that you need to sort of know.
Remember who you are and where you came from.
Remember who you are and where you came from.
Which is what our show is really all about. Welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is great. You know, the music aspect, as someone who really appreciates and family, not formally, but embraced music and growing up. I was blown away with the music heritage of the of this region. And we've had people on this show and talking about, you know, obviously we have Nashville, but what a rich music heritage that we have.
Yeah. Well, you got DeFord Bailey out of Smith County. He was the harmonica wizard in the early days of the Opry.
Yeah.
You got Uncle Dave Macon in Cannon County singing about moonshine up there. And in more recent times, you got Roy Roberts out of Livingston, who used to play with some great blues and rock musicians in the 70s. And Bud Garrett, Free Hills Community in Clay County, was a famous blues musician. And so there's a rich culture, and that's not even getting into the—
No, it's just getting started.
That's not getting into the bluegrass. My friend Jamie Daly is an award-winning bluegrass musician. And so it is the music helps tell the stories that we're interested in too. I mean that's part of our culture. So it's a rich tradition here.
Several weeks ago, we had Andrew Buckner, local musician, on, and we've had others. And he said there's a number that a lot of people may not realize. There's probably over a couple of hundred people in Putnam County alone, or maybe the surrounding counties, who are directly or indirectly involved in the music business. It's people who commute. Some of them commute to Nashville. Some are writers, the bands. But the live the music heritage here is rich and deep, and is a major part of our economy.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known that about the—
And that was just a number that I'm not— it hasn't been verified. But he said there are hundreds of people who are very involved in music, and that's who we are.
One way that I would like people to know about the history, we've got two scenic byways in the Upper Cumberland.
That's a great segue.
Yeah, the Cumberland National Scenic Byway, and the tagline for that is "From the Cumberland Gap to the Cumberland River." It's actually four counties in East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Starts in Claiborne, Campbell, Scott, Morgan, and then in our neck of the woods, it's Fentress, Pickett, Overton, and Clay, and it's sort of a hidden frontier. And then the other one is four counties. It's the Walton Road Scenic Byway.
Oh, Walton Road.
That starts in Smith County, where Captain Walton, you know, started his blazing his trail there, and it goes to Putnam and Cumberland, and it terminates in Roan County. And so I'm the point of contact and coordinator for those byways, and I'm working with the State Department of Transportation right now going forward is to try to promote these, get people to minimize their screen time, get out, and not just the history and the culture, but the state and national parks, the outdoor recreation, the adventure tourism, all these things, to get out and have these common experiences that our ancestors had.
We're longing for that. As a country, as a state, as a region,
yes,
we miss that. As you were describing that, these are the Natchez Trace of the Upper Cumberland.
That's
of
right.
Our part of the world. That is where commerce, these were trails from river to river.
Just the Cumberland National Scenic Byway, which I've worked on the most. Daniel Boone is the most famous European descent coming through, but for centuries before he did, the Native Americans used that pass. But Boone came through and was in the Upper Cumberland from the 17. He was in and out from 1769 to 75, and people would recognize these places. He camped out under what's called the Seven Sisters Cliffs at the Cumberland River out in Clay, but it was before it was Clay County on the Cumberland River. He lived in a cave for a little while right next to Sergeant York's home there.
Yeah, we hadn't even talked. We briefly mentioned Sergeant York, but
And he also he named Roaring River. I just took some kids on a kayaking trip down Roaring River for America 250, and he also he camped out at Waterloo, the swimming hole there
Waterloo.
In Overton County.
Wow!
Yeah, so just that one iconic figure spent a lot of time in our neck of the woods.
You know, I've learned so much already, and I've been here about 20 years of things that I'm fascinating with the history of our region. We're ended in the last minute or so. Anything before we shut this segment down and get ready for the next segment? Anything you'd like to carry along this? Daniel Boone, you know, it's always Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone's there too, but Daniel Boone sometimes can get overlooked because of maybe just among the population. Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett. So,
now, they're both fascinating characters. Of course, Boone was an American Revolutionary War soldier, so that's
right.
That's relevant for our America 250.
Maybe it's a good segue right here. We'll be right back in just a moment. I'm learning a lot about history from a true historian. Back soon. Well, I'm personally having a fascinating time right now, Martin. Danny, we're talking history, we're talking Upper Cumberland, we're talking about roots and heritage, and Mark Dudney is, he's our historian for the Upper Cumberland, and we don't have time to really go into it like we'd like, but let's just pick up where I've learned so much already about the history of the Upper Cumberland, and we've talked about World War I and the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. So let's just pick up and go take it where you will, my friend.
Well, thank you. One interest of mine is how the past shapes our present and can also be used to define the future.
Mm-hmm.
If you look around everywhere in our region, from the public parks, you go to Fentress and Pickett counties, you've got the Alvin York and Cordell Hull State Parks.
Yes.
Now, these are named after the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize and the Medal of Honor, and they were two of 20th century's greatest
heroes.
Leaders in war and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have beautiful state parks to commemorate their lives. Up in Cumberland County, Pleasant Hill, you have a business. That community's history is reflected in Upland's Retirement Village.
Hmm.
So Upland's represents the legacy of Dr. May Wharton, who they used to call the Doctor Woman of the Cumberlands. So she devoted herself to the mountain people up there. Her life of charity, hard work, lives on today in the philosophy of that retirement home. And so to me, preserving the memory of people who serve helps remind us of the importance of service itself.
Amen.
And so, there's a business. The library in Cookeville was named after a Gainsborough native, my hometown, Clara Jane Cox Epperson.
Okay.
And she was the poet laureate of Tennessee in 1934. She was a literary critic for The Fugitives at Vanderbilt, which is pretty cool to have on your resume if you're a literary type.
Wow.
And she was a prolific writer, and she just started donating a bunch of books. They created a library in Allgood, and when they created the library in Cookeville, they named it in her honor. A couple of projects I've worked on, there was one in DeKalb County in a town in the community of Alexandria. It was a church and a big stone fence around a cemetery that had been vandalized, and it was attended by W.E.B. Du Bois in the late 19th century. Du Bois taught school, attended church there. His time there had a real impact on him and informed his classic The Souls of Black Folk, which is a seminal work in American literature. He was the first African-American to earn a doctorate at Harvard. He was a brilliant writer and advocate for civil rights. But he was impacted by his couple of years in the Upper Cumberland region that sort of had an impact on his writing and his work the rest of his life. For women's suffrage, there's a little law office in Livingston, Tennessee, with Governor A.H. Roberts, that has a connection to the 19th Amendment and women being acknowledged as equal citizens and having the right to vote in this country. And that is it's a little office, and it's operated by a nonprofit there. They do a great job, and they do public programs.
We were the deciding Tennessee. Right. We were the deciding vote. Is that
– That is correct.
Yeah,
we were the Tennessee was the 36th state.
Yes.
And there's a great story about how that happened that's sort of probably beyond the scope of this. But right here in the Upper Cumberland, so why is this important? These National Register sites connect our community's local histories with important people and events in our national story. People like W.E.B. Du Bois and big events like the Civil War and women's suffrage. And so they highlight what's unique in our community's history and create places of institutional memory for our future. All history is local history. Everything had to happen somewhere. Right? I mean, Gettysburg was just a hayfield until.
That's right.
So another thing is economic development. And I want to brag on my home county in Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
Granville, when I was growing up, was dead as fried chicken. But history is important for economic development. People are drawn to communities that have preserved a sense of identity.
Yes.
And so Granville now does 8 festivals a year. They average over 40,000 visitors annually. They were listed by Best Life as the number one small town in the United States to step back in time. And there's something really exciting happening on the square in Gainesboro right now. There's the Wasioto Restoration Company is restoring the old Shamrock Hotel, which was originally built in 1927. They're renaming it the Cordell Hotel, and it's set to open in 2027 on the 100th anniversary. So the owner of that company is paying homage to the local culture. Wasioto is the original Aboriginal name of the Cumberland River. It means Valley
Wasioto.
Of the Deer.
Wasioto.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so there are ways where people are using the history and the culture, showing respect to the history and the culture, to drive economic development in the future.
Sure.
And I'm a historian, but I'm also involved in heritage tourism. And that's sort of been my niche, is that restoration of National Register sites and helping do public programming and heritage tourism. All Good and White Plains is something I'm terribly proud of. Just this March, the city of All Good voted to donate.
Thank goodness.
To the state of Tennessee for the State Historic Sites Program.
Yeah.
Except for the Rock House in White County, we really don't have sites on the State Historic Site Program.
So we preserve the White Plains Plantation.
Yeah.
And 14 acres, whatever. Thank goodness, because that.
Well, it'll be the house and a couple of acres.
Yeah, but I mean, we have been able to preserve that, because that was like the natural. We talked about the Walton. I'm preaching history without a license. But you know, we talk about the Natchez Trace water. This is where presidents of our of the United States have stayed there. I mean, this was a huge.
I've got a receipt where Andrew Jackson bought some supplies at the little store.
Oh.
White Plains predated any other settlement in Putnam County. It was one of the first settlements. So the history of the early republic in America, as far as what would become Tennessee, White Plains, it was actually founded by a Revolutionary War veteran. So it is a stop on the old Walton Road. All these things
are, very
these things are connected.
Very important.
And I just want people to know the history of where they live, because it is it connects to our national story.
Yeah.
It connects to Tennessee and the country.
You know, this is off the wall, is from a Flatlander. Another state grew up. When I'm from Mississippi. When people from other states come to Tennessee, even in West Tennessee, when I got, and especially middle, I felt like I was in the mountains. The Cumberland Mountains, and also during the Civil War, I mean, there are very few plantations east of Nashville, because the land was mountainous. Is that a fair? I mean, it's the lay of the land. So to have a White Plains. How large was it at one time? It was 5,000 acres or more?
Yeah, it was huge. They had like a deer preserve where they hunting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that's been a real successful public-private partnership with the City of All Good and the Friends group. Having school kids coming over there, and they'll have reenactors come.
You learn the history. It's a living history.
Yes, living history demonstrations. And so that's been something that I was very, very proud of, and worked with a lot of people for a long time on. And I'm so glad All Good stepped up and made that decision this spring.
You know, past Mayor Womack used to say, you know, catch and release about tourism and economic development, which we wholeheartedly embraced.
Yeah.
People come here from all over the world, certainly the country, the region, and visit these things and share in our heritage and our culture and our waterways and our kayaking and on and on and on. And then they go home. It's the purest form. Tourism is the purest form of economic development.
Absolutely. And another something that's sort of near and dear to me was did some work a few years ago during the pandemic on John's Place. John's Place is right on Highway 72.
Yes.
And so it's basically on the old Walton Road. In 2024, State Department of Economic Community Development recognized John's Place during, I think it was Black
Oh, that's great.
Business Leaders Month or something like that. You know, we went over there and did the recognition and everything. John's Place was built in 1949, but the father of the two sons who made John's Place what it was had operated a market on that same spot on Gibson Avenue starting at the beginning of the 20th century.
So you've got a history there.
You've got a century or more.
Of African, black-owned African-American business.
Same family, black-owned African-American, you know, business that was doing commerce in that one spot right there on 70. It was special to me in a lot of ways. I remember when Birdie got it on the National Register, I was at the Historical Commission when that happened, and I worked with WCTE. We did a documentary about it, and then I've did some grants with them in the last few years, and I had some of the best times of my life at John's Place as a student before Cook Wheel Chains.
It was a huge part of the civil rights movement.
In our neck of the woods, it was.
Of that era where we were able to work together as a community and region. And yes. John's Place was the epicenter of that.
Yeah, if you talk to Bobby Davis, who was mayor at the time when mm-hmm. they were doing the Model City stuff, he talked about how he worked with John McClellan, you know, as a bridge. McClellan was a bridge for the communication, and there's just so much history. That's just one that's sort of near and dear to my heart. But
you know, I'm already realized we've got less than a minute left, but we haven't even talked about the Trail of Tears and the Northern and the history there. And also there's a phenomena that I've seen from Mississippi, where I'm from. When I moved to East Tennessee in the 70s and then was back here in the 90s, there's something about our culture where you've got Mayor Curtis Hayes, African-American in Livingston, elected by 90% of the vote, mm-hmm. and there's only 50 African-American families in that county.
Yeah,
you've got in East Tennessee, Curtis Witt, same story. So because there were no slaves and there were very little slavery, African-Americans were shopkeepers and merchants. And, you know, we're out of time. We'll have to call a timeout, but...
Well, if there's one thing I'd like to sort of to leave with is for folks, if you're going for a hike in our hills or paddling our rivers or even driving down the highways, just take a minute to reflect on who came before.
Amen.
This is our time here. We need to be good stewards of the land, pass it on to future generations better than we found it. And as we celebrate America 250, that's a good mindset for us to apply to our country as well.
Great place to say amen and amen. I wish we had more time. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and we'll see you, audience, soon.
Thank you, George.